So the last session of the day is tech that talks back. And I am really excited to actually be up here on the quote unquote stage. I'm doing that in air quotes with Stan, who is, my understanding is you're like ACB's god to technology.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
That's what I've heard. Anyway, so we are going to spend a little bit of time talking with you about ways that we use our technology in our everyday lives. We're going to spend a little bit of time on each of those things, getting into AI just a little bit and how that helps us. Then, did we actually come up with a name? I think it's the Audience Challenge. Totally doing it off the cuff. How am I doing?
You're doing it.
All right. So we're going
to
do the...
Get to it.
We're going
to
do the Audience Challenge. The Audience Challenge is you're going to get to tell Stan and I... See, I can talk louder. Right? You're going to get to tell Stan and I things that we should do with our technology so that you get to see it in action. And then we're going to take some Q&A toward the end. Now, my understanding is we're already running behind. That's like a common theme for my whole day, by the way. We're running behind. So let's go ahead and kick it off. I'm going to turn it over to you, Stan, and talk to us about how the I family of products helps you in your everyday life.
The way we're going to divide this up is I tend to use, well, not tend to use, I since I retired, I only use Apple products. It's not so much that Apple is the best thing in the world. It has more to do with, that's what I started with when I started playing with smartphones. So as with so many of us, when you start with something, it's really hard to change. Jeremy's going to be more in the Android world. And back when I worked and wrote software, I used PCs and Windows all the time. Well, actually started with DOS, but we won't. I'm telling you how old I am. So what I want to do is, rather than just go, I use this and I use that and I use this, I'm going to tell you a typical day. So first thing I'll do is the night before, I'll tell my, I call her herself, a lot of you know who what I mean, I tell my Amazon Echo in my bedroom, set an alarm for 7 a.m. So I wake up, she wakes me up, she gives me the weather, we have a little routine, the alarm goes off, and when I say, Alexa, stop, she says, this is what the weather is in Reston, Virginia. So I've already started to engage with technology that talks back. Now that I have one device on Echo, Amazon Plus, that supposedly has AI support, there's a little more talk back, but we'll get into that later. So I'm up, I do the usual things that I do, and then I go downstairs, and I, after getting my coffee, I open my Apple News app, and I use that because it has multiple news sources. It just isn't the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. I mean, I just like to have that. And I can set favorites. And, you know, in this terrible world, I love to read about astronomy and a science and where people are actually using their brains and doing interesting things and not really shooting at each other and not really arguing with each other other than, you know, the scientific stuff. So then I spend a little time with doing that. If I have a little extra time before I go off to Pilates or whatever, maybe I'll read a chapter on using Bard on my iPhone. So I come home and it's time to get some exercise. So I'll either go to Pilates and then maybe we gotta go to the store. Well, if I have to go to the store, I can get my phone out and use Seeing AI's read feature, which all it does when it's in that mode is it reads anything the camera sees. I don't have to point much, just sort of move it around. And if it sees a can that says kidney beans, and it'll read kidney beans. I'm like, okay, there's a can of kidney beans over there somewhere. I'm not seeing exactly where I'm pointing at. My vision isn't good enough that I can probably see that can of kidney beans on that shelf 15 feet away. But my phone saw it, and Seeing AI from Microsoft read what text it could find. I also worked with someone today who had a question and explained, this is a great way to sort your mail. You don't want to know every little thing about that mail. You want to just be able to put a pile of mail in front of you, turn on, open Seeing AI. I usually do it with Siri. I just say, Siri, open Seeing AI, because I don't want to have to go dig in the folder where I put it. I just want it to open it. It comes up in this read mode automatically. It does that by default unless you change it. But as it comes after you download it, that's how it works. And you just point your phone toward the pile of mail. Trust me, you'll know when you're getting there because, you know, there's the flyer from the crazy shopping center down the street or whatever. The point is, it reads what it sees almost instantaneously. Doesn't read everything. It's not 100% accurate. But trust me, instead of taking forever to sort your mail, in 5 minutes, you got your junk pile and you got your three things that are worth keeping. So that's fast, and it does work. And the main thing is, as a blind, visually impaired person, I don't have to point my phone very precisely. Once it finds that pile of mail, as long as I kind of hold it more or less in that orientation, I can keep going without stopping. So that works pretty well. Now, let's say I get a picture from my sister as a text message. While this is going on, she's got grandkids and she's got tomatoes in the garden. Who knows what she's going to send me a picture of? I don't know. So I open the text message again using VoiceOver, and it says there's a picture there, and I double tap on it, and so that it opens the picture in the Photos app. It doesn't look like it, but it does. And then I swipe down to the share button. And I hit the share button, and I swipe past send it to these people or that people or send it in an email or whatever. And the first thing at the top of my share menu says, recognize with Be My Eyes. So I double tap that. It pulls the picture into Be My Eyes, brings up a little screen where the picture is a little thumbnail on the right. And if I've got a good internet connection, it makes some noise, boop, 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 and then it comes back and it gives me this amazing description of the photograph, whatever it is. This is so good that my sighted wife has said to me more than once, oh, it saw something in the photograph that I didn't see. Now, maybe it's just what she really meant is she didn't notice it, but we were traveling when I first started using it, and we took a picture of a sunrise over the ocean in Kauai. And she says, that's a nice picture. You did pretty good for a blind guy. And I said, fine, we're going to recognize it with Be My AI. And it came back and gave me all the stuff that I kind of figured was there. And then it said, there's a ship on the horizon. And I said, Susan, did you see the ship on the horizon? And she said, no, I didn't know. I didn't see the ship on the horizon. She looks at the description and she looks out there and says, yeah, there's a ship on the horizon. So this technology works. Is AI perfect? Heck no. Do I want AI to do everything in the world for me? No. But for examining and looking at photographs, or evaluating things maybe in my hotel room. Sure, I could use Seeing AI to recognize the text on the shampoo, the conditioner, and the body wash bottles in the shower. Which one's on the left? Oh, which one's in the middle, and which one's on the right? But if I use Be My AI with Be My Eyes, it not only tells me what the bottles are, but it tells me the shampoo's on the left, the conditioner's in the middle, and the body wash is on the right. And I didn't have to ask it. Now, if I really want to know details like what's in it, I could ask a follow-up question. And if I was lucky and took a good enough picture so that it could read some of the small print in that photograph, it might be able to tell me. But the main thing is, I really don't want to wash my hair with conditioner. That's for, you know, later, after I wash it, right? You ladies would know. I'm a guy. I don't know. But anyway, so that's in a nutshell. Oh, the other thing I love to do besides, you know, exercise and read and eat good food, which I'll get to in a second, I listen to music a lot. And I use my apps to play music even through my hi-fi system. So that, again, is there. The apps are generally really accessible. Apple Music is accessible. It's probably the most accessible of the music apps on the iPhone. Second best would be, say, Tidal or Qobuz. Amazon Music is great if all you want to do is play tracks. If you're trying to get it to play a whole album, you're better off asking Alexa to do it, because Amazon Music doesn't like to sort things in albums. Okay, I'm getting off subject, but the point is, you got all kinds of things you can use your phone to do to make your life a little happier. If I were working, I'd be doing a lot of boring things on a PC and writing a lot of code and getting stressed out. So this is good. After that, I'm getting hungry, and my wife says, it's your turn to cook dinner. Okay. I have an Instant Pot connected to the Wi-Fi, and I love to cook. So I go out in the kitchen, and I use my knife skills and my mise en place skills and my trays and everything to organize my ingredients, but I don't have to see the buttons on the Instant Pot. I can basically use the app and say, I want to saute, and I want to saute these onions on medium. And it comes back and gives me a message when the pot is hot enough so that I know I can put the onions in. And then a little later on, I'm doing other ingredients. All right, it's now time to put the liquid ingredients in or whatever, and then pressure cook them. And again, it tells me that the pot is coming up to pressure. On my phone, I get a little message. It then tells me that it's going to be doing this for 20 minutes or however long it's going to do that I set on the phone when I did the recipe. If I found the recipe actually in the Instant Pot app, there's a button I can push as I go along, and I don't even have to tell it anything. I just push this button and it says, okay, we're going to saute now for 20 minutes. And then I just get the messages. We're going to pressure cook whatever for whatever, and then I don't even have to type anything if I like the recipe. And at the end, because I'm on Wi-Fi, if I'm somewhere else in the house, it comes up and says, you know, it's done. Come upstairs and open it up if you want to. It's done. So again, it's technology making my life a little bit easier. And because I got messages all along on how the cooking process is going, if there was any reason in this recipe I had to stop and manually open it up and stir it or do whatever, I've got a reminder in a text message from the software that, yeah, you probably want to go do that. So that, in a nutshell, is how I use my phone on a given day and how I let that technology help me do the things I want to do during the day. Sure, you can do a lot of other things. You can do spreadsheets. You can do all kinds of things on your phone or on your PC. But I'm trying to show how if you get familiar with your phone and you get familiar with the software on it, how it just integrates into your routine, and most of the time it's smooth as silk. But as someone who wrote software for 40 years, I can tell you, it's software. It doesn't always work perfectly. But we.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm one of these people, when it happens, it's like, well, the developer's not here, so I can't chew him out, so I guess I'll just figure out what to do next. Anyway, I will answer questions and whatnot, but I think I'm going to turn this over to Jeremy, and let's see what he has to say. And then we're going to do that challenge where we're going to just ask for people to ask about things they're interested in to see us try to demonstrate how we actually do them. And, you know, maybe you'll come up with something. We go, I don't know. So anyway, here's Jeremy.
All right, let's give it up for Stan. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. So I was one of these guys that when Apple took the lead with VoiceOver, everything I did was on, like, everything I did in my business, I owned my own business at the time, and it was all Google Apps. And I spent about a month trying to make Apple and Google work with each other, and I got so mad I actually threw my iPhone down on the floor and broke it. And at the time, it was a cheap iPhone. I don't know that I would necessarily do that now. But I gave up, and I was like, okay, fine, I'm a Google guy. I'm gonna figure out how to make Google work for me.
And we still love you.
I know.
Google still doesn't work very well with Apple.
No, not even at all. And you know what? They want it that way. That's how it's supposed to be for them. But, so, I'm afraid to do a day in the life because we'd be here forever. But I will highlight some of the things. So, first of all, before I even get out of bed, I've went to LinkedIn, I've went to Facebook, I have looked at my messages, I've responded to messages, I'm a moderator of a couple Reddit chats for people in recovery, and so I do that stuff before I even get out of bed. Well, okay, so maybe it's before, while Jerry's in the shower and I'm trying to wake up, I think is usually how that works for me, Jerry being my husband. What I haven't got in place yet that I swear I'm going to end up having a way to do is that my Keurig makes the coffee before I even walk downstairs. That would be amazing, but I'm cheap and I haven't got there yet. So, let's see. Walk downstairs. The first day, we just recently switched to Everyday Dose, which is like mushroom coffee. It's fascinating. I can tell you about that more later, but when I went downstairs the first day, I'm like, God, I got to figure out how to use this. And so as Stan was saying, you can use Seeing AI, and I use it a lot to do mail, but it also has this box that if I want it to actually take a picture and scan the whole sheet, like let's say I'm in a restaurant looking at a menu and I need it to give me everything that's there. You can actually click the box that says document detection and it will come up and it'll say left edge not visible. Right edge not visible. And so one of the things that I've found by doing that is it actually trains me on how to focus my phone to get a whole page in. When I'm doing other things with my phone, that training is really helpful, right? So to your point, Stan, if I'm skimming through the mail, I don't even turn that on, right? Because I just want, oh, that's an offer. Oh, that's American Express. We'll put that in the bill pile. Come back to that later. But if I want the whole page, I check that box that says automatic detection on. Now, in all fairness to Seeing AI, they've got other modes. You can do like scene and, but it's just too complicated for me. I'm an Ira AI person. I tried Be My AI. I don't know, maybe I just didn't have a setting right, but like Ira AI gives me an amazing description. And I love that. And Stan, there's a funny thing that you actually told a great story, which is very similar to the one I was gonna tell. We went to Denver with my parents and my siblings and our significant others. And my brother-in-law and my sister can see perfectly, my brothers and I can't. And my sister and my brother-in-law, they love mountainous drives so that we can go check out the views. It is the most boring thing that me and my brothers ever have to participate in. That being said, just like what happened to you, Stan, I'm standing at this overlook and I take a picture and I'm showing it to my brother-in-law and I was like, I finally get to appreciate your little scenic view drives much more now that I have my Seeing AI. And he's reading the description and he goes, oh my God, I didn't even see that there was a town down there. So I find, now, there are other times, by the way, that Seeing AI totally doesn't get it right at all, right? So I like to do like the double shot just to make sure. So I use Seeing AI a lot. I'm sorry, Ira AI a lot for if I want a scene Or let's say, like this morning when I got to where I was going to the other conference that I was at, I wanted to get a layout of the room very quickly. I find that Ira AI or Be My AI does that better than Seeing AI. Right. And so I think some of this is really about you figuring out what's going to work for you and what gives you what you want. Right. Just so you know, most of these AI things, they do have different features. So like Ira AI, I have that thing. I think you can ask it for a short description or the long description. Anybody in here know what Jeremy chooses? The long, that's right. I want every bit of information I can get. I want to know what color someone's shirt is, blah, blah, blah. By the way, other practical uses. I went to a conference last week and did not have a chance to check and see what colors of ties I had that might match the shirt that I had on. And I knew I was presenting and I needed a tie. So I grabbed two and then stood there at the M-Enabling conference, holding up both ties against the shirt and then asking questions. Do you think this will match? Blah, blah, blah. That's how I did it. And it was so much more empowering than saying, hey, can someone tell me, does this tie match? Now, just for the record, I totally turned to my table after I was done and said, hey, how's the tie look? And they're like, oh my God, I love that color combo. That's great. Right? So there is the verification piece that I think is really important right now, especially when we're talking about AI, right? I actually have the Meta glasses. There is a really, like, I love my mother. She's amazing. Has been, like, I was raised as a blind kid. For those of you who may check out my TED talk at some time, I talk about how my parents raised us that we were not supposed to ever fail. And just because I was blind didn't mean I couldn't do something, right? Like, that's how I was raised, right? And so my mom calls me up when I get the Meta glasses, probably about 2-3 weeks later, and she goes, I want to tell you how proud I am that you finally figured out how to take good pictures as a blind person. I am so sick of these bad pictures you've been putting on Facebook. It's my mother, right? I'm like, okay, high expectations, I guess. So, but I will tell you, the Meta glasses, I went to the Disability Innovation Forum. Gina, somebody hosts it, and please don't ever tell her that I forgot her last name. But she literally come up to me at the M-Enabling conference because I had shared with her all the videos and pictures that I took. And she's like, there was some talk about just having you do our pictures next year. No way in hell, right? But it was nice to know that the pictures that I was taking were that quality, were that good of quality. One of the other things that I like about the Meta glasses is you can ask it to take a picture and tell you what's in front of you. And that's really helpful, especially for me. I am a dog guide user, and I've had 4 dogs, and my last one just retired about 4 months ago. And so it was very helpful to me when I went into DC and was downtown and could not figure out what was going on the sidewalk, right? And to be able to have that autonomy. To have that autonomy and not have to, I wasn't in a great place of town. I really didn't want to talk to anybody, right? And to have that autonomy in what I was doing. So that's another way that I use it. I am a huge fan of ChatGPT, and I'm sure at least 20 people in this room are going to come tell me I should be scared about that. I do not believe that ChatGPT is the end all be all. But I can tell you that my brain is usually about 27 steps further along than what, like, than, and I need it to slow down sometimes. And my favorite thing to do with ChatGPT is to do what I call the data dump. And I will just literally, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that. You can even tell it what you're thinking. That has been fantastic. There was a time about 3 weeks ago, I was having a very rough morning. And I was taking a shower and I put on the ChatGPT voice thing. And I was like, this has happened this week, and this has happened this week, and then somebody came in and told me that I wasn't going to have a job anymore, and blah, 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 blah. Just doing this data dump. And of course, like every once in a while, it's like, I can see how that would make you upset. No kidding. But then what I loved is at the end, I was like, balancing all of these different things is really putting me into a negative mood. But I have an opportunity to figure out how to take some of this stuff and to spin it into things that I can post on LinkedIn about how I operate in a world of learning and development and how inclusivity is blah, blah, blah. So I'm giving it these things, and it did this triage and analysis of everything I had said and took all those negative things that had happened to me and gave me ideas of how I could spin those into this is how the world should work. That's amazing. Now, let's be clear. Did I just take what it gave me and put it directly onto LinkedIn and Facebook? No. Right? And that's where people get into trouble. Do not tell ChatGPT to revise your resume and then send it into a job. Right? That's just insane on a number of levels. But one of the sessions that we did, I was at the Organization Development Network Conference, so it's my professional development side for what I do in the world. And we were talking about AI in OD. What a crazy title. But one of the things we were talking about is treating AI as an assistant or a partner also means that you have to educate AI. And so when AI comes back and says, when I'm preparing something and it says, one of the tips that you should give blind people is to ask somebody for help if they're in a bad situation. I'm like, that is not a good tip. Right? And so I think when AI does something wrong, we have a responsibility, just like we do as blind people, if you see somebody making an assumption of you as a blind person, to, I like to call it education, Jeremy, comes out. Let me help you understand, right? And I also understand, by the way, as blind people, we have to balance. Well, I call it grouchy old Jeremy versus education Jeremy, right? By the way, just in case you're curious, education Jeremy always gets a lot further in a conversation than grouchy Jeremy does. So always try to keep that in mind. Here are some other things, because I know I need to wrap this up. I have a thermometer. I have two, actually. One is a talking thermometer that I can use if I just want to quickly check temperature. I also have a cooking, it's called a meter. I think AT guys sold it to me, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure they did. But it literally, I can put it in like chicken and then just put it in the oven. And it will tell me, like I can watch the temperature on my phone. Everything that is in our kitchen that so we rent, right? So what I'm saying is anything we've bought, except for the Keurig, is all online in some way. So my air fryer is online. The Instapot, like Stan was talking about, is online. The microwave is online. And it gives a lot more freedom because I don't have dots all over my microwave. I just go to the app and, or actually, the microwave integrates so well with Google, I can just tell it what to do. You know, I use Google routines and stuff. I'm trying to think of stuff, by the way, Stan, that doesn't duplicate. But most of the things that, what I would actually say to you is most of the things that people are doing with their Apple or their Alexas, we now can do with our Googles too.
True fact.
Okay. So I think we've hit on everything so far. So now it's show the technology time. So does anybody have something that you would like us to try to demonstrate that might be valuable to you? Okay, let's take a step back. Did anybody learn anything new in this conversation today? Okay, good. Woo. Just making sure we weren't totally out of our minds up here. So.
Well, that's a different story.
All right. What do you got?
So Stan,
you want to know what color shirt you got on? No, I'm kidding.
So Stan, you're talking about reading through Apple News.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you demonstrate?
While he's getting there, I will say, I use Google News the same way he's about to demonstrate that. There's an interesting thing that in our house we've got Google speakers in most rooms, and we have a double floored house, and I literally have seen my partner Jerry call me on the Google speaker because he does not want to walk upstairs and have a conversation, right? And so I think the other thing that we see a lot in my house, I'm a YouTube premium person, right? Like I've got all of my music is on YouTube, and so you will most days hear me belting out like Whitney or Pink or I don't know, Dallas Dixon or A Great Big World, things like that, right? And I'm sure that my neighbors at some point in their morning say, oh my God, what is he doing now? So, but I think one of my favorite things to do is have like all the speakers playing in the house and drives my husband insane. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
All right, here we go.
Okay. We're going to try to figure out how to do this. What I did is I don't want to get into the current news because I just figure we don't either. Some of us are not going to want the aggravation or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. So I just opened my favorite tab in Apple News, one of them called Astronomy.
Nice.
And what that does, I hope, can you all hear me?
Yes.
For you.
So, all right.
Can you turn that up a little?
Yep, we got to turn this up a little.
Hold on, where's your speaker? Ah, there it is.
Sports, tab, 3 of 5.
There we go.
Astronomy.
All right, can everybody hear it now?
Yes.
More options, button, for you. National Geographic, this rare green comet won't return for 1,000 years. Here's how to see it this week. Isabel Swafford. Back, button. Image. Caption, Miguel Claro.
Sorry.
Title, this rare green comet won't return for 1,000 years. Here's how to see, this rare green comet won't return for 1,000 years. Here's how to see it this week. Comment.
Here, let me slow the speech down.
Links, headings, text selection, characters, words, lines, speech volume, 45 speaking rate, 64%, 59%. Comet C/2025A6 Lemon is this year's brightest comet visible from Earth, an icy relic from the solar system's origins that won't return until the next millennium. By Isabel Swafford, published October 17, 2025. This week, Earth gets a front row seat to one of the solar system's oldest relics. On October 21st, Comet C/2025.
So that's basically how I read articles. Now, yeah, you have to go through the app to get there, but I thought that was just a little bit boring to demonstrate. Besides, I like Jeremy's story better.
So I'm lazier than Stan is, and I'll admit that wholeheartedly. So I actually use a feature where I can tell it I can tell Google News what I want news from, and then it like gives me the latest. It's almost like they have little podcasts, right? So it gives me like the CNN Money podcast, right? And it just goes through, like I have this little routine that's like, hey Google, good morning. And it goes through every news source that I have until I tell it to shut up, right? And so I love that you're more resourceful and actually looking for the news you want. That's awesome to me.
This is a subscription.
You can, Apple News, there's a basic plan that gives you the current news and maybe some things it thinks you want to read. For the full stuff, yes, it's part of my Apple subscription that pays for my backup storage, my Apple Music, and the news, and probably something else I'm not remembering. It's like $39 a month, which sounds like a lot, but I have 2 terabytes of cloud storage. I have Apple Music. I have the news, and it's all in one place. And again, I'm not being an Apple fanboy. It's just where it is for me because I'm already in the ecosystem. You can do all this stuff with Google or whatever.
Or even Micro. Like, I think you're onto something, right? It's going to be whatever you're comfortable with, right? I had a really good friend of mine one time. Total Apple dude. There was no way that we were going to pull him off his Apple and his Alexa. Like every time I said, oh, I'm going to buy a new Google speaker, he'd be like, shut up. Don't even want to hear. So I think it's, where is your preference? What's going to work for you? And it kind of comes back to what I was talking about with like seeing AI, Ira AI, Be My AI, God, ChatGPT, Meta AI. You got to figure out which one is going to do what you want the best for you. So what's another thing you want us to demonstrate?
Can we talk about your glasses?
Sure. Hold on. I have to get them on. Okay.
Cammie, you okay with holding onto the microphone, all right?
Okay. Yeah, I got it. Because I don't know. So I was.
If we drop it on the floor, then we have to look.
Well, I was thinking about this on the way over. I don't know if the glasses are going to be loud enough that I can get it to come through the mic, but we'll try. What do you want me to do?
Okay, so instead of doing Scene AI or Be My Eyes,
right?
You could use those glasses and read a menu, correct?
Sure can.
Okay.
Hold on a sec.
Could you repeat for?
Oh yeah, sorry. So what's your name?
Bobby.
What Bobby was asking is, so you can use the glasses to read the menu if you want to. Now, Bobby, here is one thing that I've noticed. And this is really interesting for me. It kind of makes me sound a little bit like a geek. And I'm trying to get something in my bag that's print that I can actually demonstrate using. Oh, yeah, I can do this. So one of the challenges that I have, or that I had when I first got the glasses, I have never seen in my life. I've never seen anything. And so one of the biggest struggles that I had in the very beginning with the glasses is to understand how to focus in on what I wanted, right? I got very good with the phone because I knew if I was trying to read something, I could be up above it and it would work and I would be fine, right? And I needed to probably, depending on what I was trying to read, be like, I don't know, 6 inches away or 9 inches, like I could figure that out. One of the struggles that I had when I first got the glasses, the glasses have cameras that are kind of in the corners, mind you, like on in each corner. And so like the first time I tried to take a picture, I was looking down at the floor, right? And it never dawned on me that I was looking at the floor, because if I actually look, like if I want a picture of this room, I have to keep my head up a little bit, or it's only gonna get like the first table, right? And for those people who can see, you guys would understand the line of sight. Or those who have seen in their lives, you guys would understand that. I've never seen a thing. And so trying to understand the line of sight was like a 15-day process for me. But once I got it, then I was like, okay, we're good. So I have a thing that they gave us at the other conference I was at. It's a kite. I guess it's a kite. To me, it just looks like a folded piece of paper, but whatever. So it's a kite. And what I can do is I can hold it up in front of the glasses, probably. I have, I would say probably about 6 inches away. Like my arm is not all the way extended. All right. Hey, Meta. Take a picture and tell me what you see. Hold on.
I see a person holding a yellow card with the word Polario. In the background, there are several people at tables. Large room with white chairs and a colorful carpet.
Okay. So it's not gonna be loud enough that I can do it, but it said, I see a person, this is fascinating to me by the way, because it said, I see a person who's holding a card. Well, I'm the holding the card, so I don't know how that happens, right? But it said, I see a person who's holding a card that says Polari. Apparently, I didn't have it all the way in focus because it says polarity, right? Okay. I don't do a lot of reading with my glasses. I'll own that for you. But then it said, in the background is a group of people, tables and chairs, looking like almost a conference scene. The floor, I can't remember what color that it said, but that tells you that I was looking down. It was colorful. Okay. So that, like, again, it's my focus was not very good in that one, right? And so the struggle that I have is every time I try to use my glasses to read a menu, I end up taking a picture of the person sitting across from me and not the menu. So was that, did that satisfy your request?
It did answer a question.
Okay.
If I want to, I can make an observation.
Yeah. Oh, here's the
mic. Well, I can yell, I don't know. The thing about AI is that it's good for some tasks, and it's also your preference as you get used to it. But for example, to read a menu, particularly where you may want to refer to it again, let's say you're going to go back to that restaurant again, you can. I find using the document read on Seeing AI works as well or better than the AI features for that.
I agree.
And the advantage of it is the document read gives you the option to save it in your notes or somewhere, and you can say, hey, this is the current menu at Clyde's or wherever it happens to be. And that's harder to do with the AI software. It's possible, but you can get a better picture of the menu and get all the information faster with the Seeing AI document read than you can the actual AI software. The confusion here is Microsoft named the app Seeing AI, which makes you think everything about it is AI, and that isn't true.
That's right.
There's another important point, and me as a traveler, it matters a lot. If you do not have an internet connection, or if you have a lousy internet connection, AI won't work.
That's true. Yes.
That's important, people. It won't work if you don't have a good internet connection. So I still use a lot of software that doesn't rely on the internet, because I'm often in places where I don't have the internet.
Now, let me tack on to that, if that's okay.
Yep, I'm going to hand you the microphone.
Yep. So,
what is your preferred text to voice reader?
Well, it depends. It depends. He wanted to know what my favorite text reader is, and it depends. And the reason for that is, to be honest, if I'm out and about and may or may not have access to the internet, my OrCam reads text better than anything else I've got, including Seeing AI.
Yeah.
Why the OrCam isn't still around is that OrCam said, we can't sell $2,000 handhold or glasses devices and compete with the stuff on the phone. But I am here to tell you, when it just comes to reading, just reading text, the OrCam is still better than almost anything out there, period. And I doesn't need the internet. So, since you can't buy OrCams anymore, well, you can actually. They're still selling them and they still support them, but they're not improving them. My second choice is Seeing AI, because it gives you really easy feedback about when you have what you're trying to read properly positioned so you can take a good photograph. And even more importantly, when it thinks it can take a good photograph, it just takes it.
I love that feature.
In other words, you don't have to move your fingers and push the take picture button, which of course, as soon as you move your fingers, the phone is going to move and the picture isn't good anymore. So my second favorite, other than the OrCam and the one that most of you can use, is the document read on Seeing AI. A KNFB reader used to be a great choice, and it still is extremely accurate, but they're not, the NFB isn't developing that anymore, and it doesn't seem, it's still on the Apple Store, but I think, but and maybe on the Google Store, but it's sort of gone out of fashion or out of favor. There are some other OCR programs that are also very good, and to be honest, text recognition from Apple Photos is pretty good if you don't have anything else.
I don't know what, do Fitbits talk back to you?
No.
So I I swim, you know, I do workouts, and I have a what's it called? What's the brand name? Garmin. I have a Garmin sports watch. And I come home from my swim workout and I hit Seeing AI and it starts reading the watch face for me. So it gives me all the pertinent information on the screen that's open. Now, so, sometimes if you move the sports watch when you've, so I usually do intervals, you know, like I do 100 and then I rest for a little bit and then I do another 100 or whatever. Excuse me. And I can, so I have a bunch of intervals that I want it to read to me so I can tell how fast I'm going at each interval. And I can do that with the Seeing AI, but sometimes I have to click on the tab at the bottom that says talk or read. It says read. And so whenever I change screens, sometimes it doesn't tell the difference between the last screen and this screen. So I have to re-tap the tab that says read. But I can go through my workout and find out what I did on the workout through Seeing AI.
So I know we're going to have to wrap up soon. But the person with your hand up, what's your name? Susan, what's your question?
I have a question for you, Jeremy. I have an Android. Recently, I was sent a message with a picture. I had to ask my husband, what is this? And he told me what it was. What in the settings do I have to put in my Android for me for it to describe the picture to me?
So there's a couple different ways you can do it. You can use TalkBack, or you can use Seeing AI, or Be My AI. And I would say, let's you and I find each other later.
Okay,
and we'll do that. So I want to give you an example, though, of where the glasses can be really helpful before we wrap up. And then, Stan, I want to come to you for final thoughts as well. So I was on my way back. Well, I will just say I traveled to Dallas, then I traveled to New Orleans, and you can make your inferences as to why. But I went to Dallas first, and this is, I don't have to travel a lot for my job now, so it was the first really big trip that I took without the dog. And I had my glasses. I made sure I had my glasses right before I left, right? So first of all, I got some really great views of Dallas, which was amazing. And the only way that I could get those views, because I couldn't afford to stay at the top of the hotel, was to take them out of the elevator. Never thought of doing that before. So that was kind of cool. The glasses helped with that and making sure that the pictures I were taking was good. But the big trip that I wanted to tell you about is coming back from New Orleans. I had been on the road for like 2 weeks and I was really getting very frustrated with talking to people. And for me, that's a big deal, right? Because I love talking to people. I went from the New Orleans hotel that I was staying at all the way to DCA and to my house and did not speak to one person. And I did it by using a combination of the Meta glasses and taking pictures. And I did use Be My Eyes for one area in the airport in New Orleans. Other than that, everything else I did with AI, and as Stan was saying, an internet connection, because you have to have that, right? And so we didn't get a lot of chance to kind of talk about like the drawbacks. And so I do want to say this. AI is a tool. It is not the end all be all. And always remember that just like Google, and I'm sure Apple does too, but just like Google has been tracking my location since 2008, I'm not joking. I can literally go back on a map and see where I was in 2008. That's when I got my phone. Not this one, but my first smartphone. Be aware that most of the things that you are feeding into AI are public. And so it means they're part of the public domain. Unless you have checked a box somewhere that it is not allowed to share your data, like I use Read AI, there's a box in there that I check that my meeting data is not allowed to be part of the learning model. Unless you've done that, your stuff is fair game. Now, what I was talking about earlier at a conference was, anytime we get an opportunity to do two things as blind people, we need to embrace them. The first is train AI on how to be more inclusive. If it's giving you a crappy answer, tell it. The second one is, by the way, it'll say thank you. The second thing is, anytime we can get involved in legislation that is going to regulate how our data is being used in the AI world, we need to see that as an opportunity. So, Stan, to you for final wrap up. And then, I don't know, who's doing like announcements for the whole, you are. You want to come on up?
Okay, I wanted to add on to what Jeremy added on, because we're just adding things up. One of the things someone asked me about earlier today was facial recognition. A lot of people think that that's a good thing. And with some devices, it's easy to do. How it works is, you get your device, whether it be your phone with some software or an OrCam or whatever it happens to be, and you ask someone, may I take a couple of pictures for you so that this device will know who you are the next time its camera sees you. So that, you know, I'll know who you are when, you know, I walk in a room and you're there or whatever. If they say yes and you take two or three pictures and then you run it through either the software or whatever, it'll recognize that person and you'll come to them next time and they'll say, Roseanne just entered the room or whatever. It doesn't work perfectly, but it does work. But everybody's been asking, well, why don't software packages like Be My AI and Aira AI and all that do that for me? And the answer is really simple: privacy. The AI software can easily be trained to recognize people and tell you that this face is so-and-so. But there's a big privacy issue, and there are state governments, such as Illinois, that say doing that is illegal. So, and frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's correct. Because until we get to the point where we can say we don't want any of this in the public domain, your loved ones could be out there as an AI training model, and I don't think that's a good idea.
It's kind of like what we had to deal with when we launched email or the internet, right? This is all new. And so be careful. So you want to be careful. God, yes, please be careful, right? But at the same time, and I was telling someone, like, this is a debate that I have with people every week. As a blind person, if I want to use AI, then you know what? Some of my life is going to get into the AI model. And I have to make the choice on, do I want the freedom of using the AI? Or do I want to close myself down and not be able to take advantage of those tools? I don't care. I'm going to be cautious, but quite frankly, guys, I used to own my own business. So my phone number and my email address have been out on the internet for 15 years, right? So I have to be more careful of making sure that nobody's trying to scam me and, you know, using tools to watch my dark web results and all these things that protect me. But there is a push and pull with AI. It gives us freedom. I took an autonomous vehicle, Waymo, when I was in San Francisco, and I got to tell you something. The Uber driver that I had today made me remember why I loved the Waymo vehicle, because I was in complete control of what the Waymo vehicle was doing, and my Uber driver went some way that I have never seen before that I'm pretty sure got her an extra $10 on the trip. So there, we have all this technology and we've got to be careful of it, but we also need to balance that against the freedoms and the independence that it brings us. You got anything else?
Nope.
Thank you. Now, as Miss Roseanne's coming up, let's give her like a boom, boom, all right. Boom, boom.